You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, April 25th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Beware of Slippery Places.
Oh, wasn't that good? Come on now. Oh, come on, you can shout better than that. That was good. Amen? I mean, you think about that. It is settled forever. You don't ever have to worry about it. You'll never burn in hell. Amen. Boy, that's something to shout about every day of your life, I'll tell you for sure. Notice in your Bible tonight, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, I want you to know, on Saturday morning, I had 16 points. And I finished it in about 21 minutes. So I don't want you to get scared tonight when I say I've got 10 points tonight. But I also don't want you to get in a hurry because I have no reason to finish this in 21 minutes. All right? So I want you to stay with me tonight. This will help tremendously. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Let's read it again for that which is a simple understanding. Here's what the Bible says. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, all right? So here's what God's saying. He said, look, I've already taught you these things. You've already heard these things before. Now, by the way, if you have been a member of Parkside Baptist Church, what you're going to hear tonight, I can assure you through Dr. May, you have heard these things before, okay? But here's what it says. The Bible says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led, it said, away, it says, with the air of the wicked. Now, who is the wicked? The wicked is the devil. The Bible says, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, it's not talking about falling from grace. You do not fall from grace. Once you're saved, you're always saved. All right? So he's not talking about falling from grace, but he's talking about falling from your steadfastness of service. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know what that means? That means you simply can't keep a good man down. You cannot keep somebody that is a just man, a righteous man, a believer down. He falls, he gets up, 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 he falls, he gets up. All right, so it's a continual getting up because of the falling. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, notice it again, just a fragment of that verse. The Bible says, beware lest ye fall. James chapter 1 in verse 2, the Bible says, when ye fall into divers temptations. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, lest any fall. All right, so God says that there are those individuals that fall, and God warns us about all of us having the potential to fall. Let me just give you a couple of things to think about. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart, but there came a time in David's life when David did fall. Peter was known as the best Christian of his day. If you'll notice, there was the inner circle disciples. It was never John, James, and Peter. It was never James, Peter, and John, but it was always Peter, James, and John. He was the leader of the inner circle disciples, if you would. He was the spokesman of those that was closest to the heart of Jesus Christ, but there was a day when Peter fell. There was Noah, 120 years building an ark. People laughed at him, mocked at him, made fun of him. He was a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but yet there was a day when Noah did fall. There was Lot, the nephew of Abraham, no doubt grew up in the best Christian home of his day. There was nobody like Abraham. Abraham was wise in all of his decisions. Abraham was a wise man of God. Abraham was a wise businessman. Abraham was a wise family man. And that which was Lot grew up in probably the best environment of the day. But yet Lot fell. There was Abraham himself. Abraham was called a father of the faithful. He was the one that left that which was Ur to go over to that which is the Chaldees. The Bible teaches that not only that, that he leave that which was Ur of the Chaldees, rather, to go to a city whose founder and maker was God. But yet Abraham had a time in his life when he himself also did fall. There was Thomas. Thomas became that which was the great martyr that was martyred in India. But yet there was a time when Thomas fell. There was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, symbolically or figuratively speaking, was the one of the Old Testament that you can more readily identify with Christ in the New Testament. There was more similarities and attributes in that which was Jeremiah's life than any other person that would identify Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but yet Jeremiah did fall. There was Balaam. Balaam, the greatest preacher in his day. There was nobody that was more of a famous prophet in that day than Balaam. But Balaam did fall. There was Jonah. Jonah, a great man of God, after backsliding and getting right with God, he went to the place that was the will of God for his life, and he preached in Nineveh, and the greatest revival that ever took place, recorded in the Old Testament, took place underneath the anointed preaching of Jonah. But yet, we understand, recorded in Scripture, that Jonah fell. There was John Mark. John Mark stood beside the Apostle Paul in his last days while in jail. John Mark was requested to come because he was profitable unto that which was Paul, if you will, for that which is the ministry. John Mark was used to pen that which was the gospel of Mark that you find in your New Testament, but yet John Mark fell. There was that which was Jacob. Jacob would later be called that which is Israel. He would become that which was the Prince of God. But yet there was a time when Jacob fell. There was Saul, the greatest man in the kingdom at that time. He stood anointed. He was somebody that had a physicalness about him that was more prevalent than anybody else's stature of that day. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else, but there was a time when Saul did fall. There was Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man in all the world, Solomon fell. Now, what I'm saying tonight is if these great men could fall, then there's a possibility that you and I could fall. I remember years ago when I pastored in Tennessee, I would do like I do this very hour being pastor here at Parkside. On Sunday mornings, it's almost routinely that I get up and I come to the church and I'll leave the church at a certain time and I go out and I'll do wake-up calls and I go out and start trying to pick up people to bring them to church, or at least if they won't ride with me, encouraging them to come and to be here on time. And so I do that routinely here just like I did there. And I remember one time in Tennessee, I was excited. I had many adults that was coming that day. I got the church van, and boy, I was going to pack it that day full of adults. And boy, I was just so excited about what God was doing. And I was running from apartment to apartment, and I thought, you know, it's quicker instead of running, because they weren't answering the front doors anyway. And I wound up having to go all the way around back and knock on the back doors, because apparently that's where they were hanging out. And so I thought, it's just quicker to run across the yards in the back. And it had snowed out and it was icy. And I remember just running with all the vigor of energy that I had. And I was knocking on this door. Then I would jump down and I'd run over here. And I'd knock on that door. And then I would jump down and I would run over here. And I remember running along and I hit myself a sheet of ice. When I hit that sheet of ice, I slipped and I fell. But did you notice that I slipped before I fell? And slipping is always that which takes place before a person falls. Nobody ever wakes up and says, oops, I backslid. Nobody ever wakes up and says, well, I tell you what, I'm a backslider today. No, normally it's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. And before you know it, they find themselves in a complete backslidden state. And then they look up and say, how in the world did I ever get here? If you'll notice something in the Bible talks about David, where it says in Psalm 26 and in verse 1, the Bible says that David talks about sliding into sin. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 31, the Bible talks about David taking steps of sliding. When it describes that which is Israel, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer." The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35, the Bible says, "Their foot shall slide in due time." And so whenever you talk about that which is backsliding in the Bible, it's not something that all of a sudden we wake up and say, "How in the world did I get here?" Most people, if they're consciously thinking about it, they know exactly how they got there. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to show you the steps of a backslider. I want to show you tonight exactly what God shows as to what takes place in a person's life. How is it that some people used to be on fire and some people used to be excited and some people used to be in the bus ministry and some people used to be faithful to church and some people used to tithe and some people used to be Sunday school teachers and some people used to be in the choir and some people used to sing and some people used to be in Sunday school or the youth department, and some people used to do this, but then all of a sudden you can't find them anymore. What is the actual steps of a backslider? I want you to notice something tonight as we talk about beware of slippery places. I want you to turn in your Bible tonight to the book of Luke chapter 22, the book of Luke chapter 22, and I want you to see something, and I'm going to roll right through this tonight, so you hang on for dear life, but I want us to see something. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan," it says, "hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, if you know anything about the sifting process, if you've ever worked on a farm, you'll have a sifter, and what happens is you shuffle that sifter, and as you shuffle that sifter, certain things, because of the pressure and because of that which is the sifting that's going on, is forced to go through the holes. Now, that's a refining process. Now, here's what he says. He says that we've got to beware because Satan wants to sift us. Satan wants to take something from you that you're used to having. Satan wants you to go through that which is a forced hole that he has created so that you would be different on the other side than what you are presently on this side. Now, I want us to see something. The Bible says in verse 32, "I have prayed for thee." Now, this is the Lord. Isn't this a wonderful thing that the Lord would even consider us worthy enough to pray for us? He said, "I prayed for thee." He says, "that thy faith fail not." Says, "when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Now, he's not talking about a conversion dealing with salvation, but rather he's talking about a conversion of your faith. So he's talking about that even though you're saved, many times we have to go through a time of trials, and many times we have to go through times of temptations, and many times we have to go through times of trouble so that our faith can be made stronger than what it was prior to going through that certain traumatic time. All right, notice in verse 33, the Bible says, and he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready." This is Peter's talking now. He said, "Lord," he says unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Notice what else he says, verse 34. And he said, "I tell thee, Peter," he said, "the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt," it says, watch it now, "for thou shalt," it says three times, basically here it's talking about that thrice, is meaning three times, that thrice, he says, "deny that thou knowest me." And so he said, now Peter, be careful what you're saying. Peter said this, he said, "Lord, I want you to know something." He said, "I'll be willing to die for you. I just want you to know this. No matter what's going to take place," he said, "I'll never deny you. I'll be willing to die for you. Lord," he said, "I'll be willing to go to prison for you. I'll be willing to die for you." And the Lord said, "Look, be careful what you're saying, Peter." You know why? Because for somebody to make a boastful statement like that, we've got to be careful that we're not full of pride. Have you ever seen the person that said this? "Oh, I'll never backslide. Preacher, you don't have to worry about me. You don't have to check up on me because I'm okay. I mean, I've been faithful for 20 years and everything's okay. And boy, I've read the Bible so many times through that now I even have not just that, which is the books of the Bible memorized, but the chapters too. And you don't have to worry about me. But listen, whenever we get so full of pride to think that we have arrived, that's why God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we're not supposed to be boastful like we are somebody. We are saved by grace, and it's by grace alone. So understand tonight, here's what Peter said. Peter said this. He said, it can't happen to me. One of the first steps of a backslider is when they think that they can make it all by themselves. Well, I'm okay. I don't need Sunday night church. I'm telling you, you need Sunday night church. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I come Sunday morning and I come Sunday night and I don't need Wednesday night church. No, you don't understand. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need as much church as you can get. Come on. Most of us that's out there that would have a television, you don't limit yourself to 3 or 4 hours of television watching, but yet we limit ourselves to that, which is how much church we take in. Now say, you need more church than television. You need more preaching than the radio. You need more communication with God and understanding from the word of God. Look, listen to me tonight. I'm trying to help you understand tonight that the preaching of the word of God, that's more important than a football game on television. That's more important than a baseball game on television. The preaching of the word of God, that's what's going to change you. All right, now wait a minute. But here's what Peter did. Peter said, it can't happen to me. Statement number two, watch this. First thing that happens after Peter boastfully, Peter says, it can't happen to me. Notice what takes place. It goes from the outward statement to the inward character. Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 45. The Bible says, and when he rose up, it says, from prayer, he was come to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. The Bible says in verse 46, the Bible says, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So Peter says, he says, Lord, he said, I just want you to know, it can't happen to me. But not long after that, he didn't even have enough character to stay awake and pray. So it goes from an outward boastful statement to that which is inward trouble. Inward character is revealed. So the first thing that happens is pride. Lord, it can't happen to me. I'll be okay. It'll never happen to me. I'm a good Christian. And some people are so fooled by this. Because what they do is they say, boy, I'm such a good Christian. I don't need church on Sunday night. I'm such a good Christian. I don't need the Bible on Wednesday night. And so what they do is they back off a little bit, back off a little bit, back off a little bit, and before you know it, you can't find them. Or if you do find them, they're not interested in God. They're not interested in church. They're not interested in the Bible, and they call themselves a Christian. Wait, here's what you see. Peter rises up, and Peter says, hey, you don't understand. He said, Lord, I'll be willing to go to prison with you, Lord, for you, Lord. I'll be willing to suffer in prison for you, Lord. Lord, I'll be willing to die for you. But yet he didn't even have the inward love for Christ and the inward character to stay awake just a little while to pray. So statement number one, person says it can't happen to me. Statement number two, they stop praying. They stop praying. You know the easiest place to get backslidden is in Bible college? Because you're spoon fed. You know the easiest place to get backslidden is in a Christian school? You know why? Spoon fed. You know the easiest place to get backslidden is in a Christian home with Christian homeschooling? Spoon fed. You know come on. I'm talking about the easiest place for Parkside Baptist Church. Remember, look, we've got all the exterior right. We've got it right. We know when to say amen, and we know when to say hallelujah, and we know when to say praise the Lord, and we know when to come to the altar, and we know how to win a person to Christ, and we know how to walk them down the aisle, and we know how to buttonhole them about baptism. We know how to get them to the baptistry room. We know how to get them through the tank. Man, we got it all down, but if we're not careful, What takes place is it starts to backslide on side of the heart. Why? Because we become professional Christians. We become people that have it all down. We've got it down. You're not supposed to have it down yourself. You're supposed to trust in Christ. Oh, listen to it. Statement number one, he said, it can't happen to me. Statement number two, he stops praying. Statement number three, watch this. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54, the Bible says, then took they him and led him and brought him, it says, into the high priest's house. Watch what happens now. Where's this Peter at? The Bible says, and Peter followed afar off. This is the same Peter that said, hey, Lord, just want you to know, Lord. Lord, I'll be willing to go to prison for you, Lord. Lord, I want you to know I'll be willing to die for you. Shortly thereafter, he couldn't even pray. See, the inwardness is coming out. But you know, the longer a person is backslid, it comes out more and more. Have you ever seen a backslidden Sunday school teacher drink beer? Now, you better say something because I might think it's you. Have you ever seen a backslidden Christian in jail? Have you ever seen a backslidden Christian doing things they ought not do? Hello? So a preacher, how'd it get that way? It didn't get that way overnight. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, and they wind up where they're not supposed to be. All right, now wait a minute. Watch what takes place. Here's what we see in the Bible. He said, it can't happen to me. A little while longer, he stops praying. A little while longer, he follows afar off. What is in the heart truly does come out. It goes from that which was an inward, proud boasting to that which was an inward lack of character to that which is revealed as he follows afar off. Oh, watch this, if you will. Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 55. Luke chapter 22 and verse 55. The Bible says, and they kindled a fire, it says, in the midst of the hall and were set down together. Peter sat down among them. Well, who is he sitting with? He's sitting with those that do not identify with Christ. He's set with those that opposes Christ. He is setting with those that are not followers of Christ. So it goes from that inward proud statement. Hey, I'm okay, preacher. You don't need to talk to me, preacher. I'm okay, preacher. I can get by just on Sunday morning, preacher. I'm such a good Christian, preacher. I don't need Sunday night church. I don't need Wednesday night church. Hey, preacher, I just want you to know I have arrived. It goes from that proud statement to somebody that stops praying. From somebody that stops praying to somebody that follows afar off. And if you follow afar off, you're always going to have your own crowd. Have you ever noticed that rebellious kids always find their own crowd? Have you ever noticed that good Christian kids always find their own crowd? Have you ever noticed that feathers of the same kind always flock together? Have you ever noticed? Here's what it says right here. The Bible says that he sat down with the enemy. He found his crowd. And by the way, you don't have to search for them. They'll find you. Watch what happens here. So he said, it can't happen to me. For you know what? He stops praying. That's an inward decision. By the way, when you first start to backslide, only a few people see it. Remember, there was only a few people that was there praying. So when you first start to backslide, it's not evident to the populace. It's only evident maybe to your wife. It's only evident maybe to your husband. It's only evident to maybe that which is the parents. It's only evident to maybe that which is the children. When you first start the backslide, it's not prevalently and publicly known. It's only known by a few. But the Bible says that here he was, he stopped praying. But before you know, and by the way, notice how it gets bigger. Now he follows afar off and he sits down with a group. Not just two or three people know it now, but now it moves from two or three people to a group. And he's identifying with the wrong crowd. Watch it. Luke chapter 22 and verse 56. The Bible says, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire. So not only now, watch it. Statement number one, he says, it can't happen to me. Don't worry about me. I'll be, hey, mom, dad, hey, don't worry about that rule. We don't need that rule. Mom, dad, you can trust me. I mean, believe me, you can trust me. I am a strong believer. You know, Paul said he couldn't trust his own flesh. There's been many times when my boys came up to me and they said, Dad, don't you trust me? And I would say, absolutely not. If Paul could not trust his own flesh, then you pray tell me why I should trust yours. But Dad, you're my dad and I'm your son. That gives me all the more reasons I don't trust you. Because I know who your daddy is. Come on. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we see. He says, hey, Lord, I just want you to know. Lord, I'll go to prison with you, Lord. I'll go to prison for you, Lord. Hey, Lord, look, I'll never deny you, Lord. Lord, I'll be willing to die for you. Shortly thereafter, he didn't even have the character to pray. Witnessed by just a few people. After that, he begins to follow afar off. Witnessed by a few more people. Then he gets so comfortable following afar off with his crowd that he now identifies with. By the way, who are you identifying with at school? Who are you identifying with in the neighborhood? Come on. Who are you identifying with down at the workplace? Do they know you as being a believer that's a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? Because when they say a dirty joke, you say, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not saying that around me, sir. Now, you may say it out there with everybody else that lives in the trash pile, but you're not talking that way about me. You're offending the Holy Ghost of God that liveth in me. And, sir, I just want to tell you, you don't talk that way around me. Come on. Who do you identify yourself with? Here's what the Bible says. He said, Lord, it can't happen to me. Don't worry, Lord. I'll be willing to go to prison for you. I'll never deny you, Lord. Lord, I'll be willing to die for you. Then shortly thereafter, he couldn't even pray. Witnessed by a few, the inward heart is being revealed. Then he follows afar off. Then he sits down beside the enemy. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what type of Christian you are. Stay with me now. But wherever you choose to sit down, listen to me, you become comfortable after a while. Has it ever been extremely cold outside and you found a fireplace? And at first it was too hot. But after sitting there for a period of time, you became used to the warmth. Then you fell asleep. See, wherever you choose to sit down is where you become comfortable. Did you know that you can be comfortable in red hot preaching? I was appalled years ago. When Dr. Hiles was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, I was appalled. I went to a pastor school and there was two college kids. And they were sitting underneath that anointed preaching of that man of God. They did not know who was in their presence. Just like sometimes you get a truth in church, and if you're not careful, you'll enter over to that which is apathy. Hello? Boy, these two college kids that was attending their college there, a boy and a girl, they were writing each other notes. They were sitting right in front of me, and I couldn't help it. I could not help it, but I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, I'm going to tell you right now, you've got a chance right now to put it away. Because if you don't, I'm crawling over this pew and I'm going to sit between you. He said, there's no room. I said, okay, then I'll sit on you, son. I said, do you understand who's preaching up there? By the way, I'm not trying to lift up the man, but do you understand what he's preaching from? You ought to have more common courtesy from the Word of God just to respect the Bible. I said, put your pens away and listen to the preacher. Hello. Wait a minute. And so here he is. He said, Lord, I'll be willing to go to prison for you, Lord. I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I'll be willing to die for you. Not long after that, he couldn't pray. Not long after that, he's following afar off. More and more people are seeing him. Not long after that, he sits down with the enemy. Not long after that, he becomes so comfortable that he warms himself beside the devil's fire. He's comfortable with his backsliding. You ought never to get comfortable with not being hot for God. You ought to decide, I'll be there Sunday morning. I'll be there Sunday night. I'll be there Wednesday night. Look, if for no other reason, I'll be there just to hair-lip the devil. Oh, watch it now. So he said, it can't happen to me. He began to stop praying. He followed afar off. He sat down beside the enemy. He warmed himself beside the devil's fire. Watch this. He denied Jesus and his faith. Boy, it's getting bigger and bigger. Now he's going into denial. Luke chapter 22 and verse 56. The Bible says, but a certain maid beheld him and set, watch it now, and set by, and set, watch it, as he set by the fire and earnestly looked upon him. She's wondering, what in the world are you doing here, son? What are you here? Why are you here? You don't belong here. Hello? See Christians creeping around attending bars at night. People look at you and say, what are you doing here? I saw you at church. You don't belong here. Christians living in adultery. What are you doing? Living a life of fornication. Yo, what are you doing? Stealing a candy bar in a restaurant. What are you doing? Trying to cheat on your income taxes. What are you doing? Wait a minute. And she looks at him and she begins to stare at him as he sits by the fire. She earnestly looked at him and said, this man was also with him. What was he doing? First, he denied Jesus Christ and his own faith. Watch it. The Bible says in verse 57, the Bible says, and he denied him saying, woman, woman, I know him not. You know, some backsliders make the best liars because they're ashamed of what they're doing. You mean you're a Spurgeon? Spurgeon's granddaddy was a pastor. One day, one of his faithful Sunday school attenders, Spurgeon heard, was down at the pub. Spurgeon, now 8 or 9 years of age, goes walking into the pub. Charles Haddon Spurgeon goes walking into the pub, walks up to that member of that church, takes his little 8 or 9 year old finger, points it in the man's chest, and he said, sir, you don't belong here. Do you not understand you're breaking your pastor's heart? Go home. And walked out. That was an 8 or 9 year old boy. But yet we don't have the strength and the fortitude to tell our children to behave in church. Wait, here's what we see tonight. He was warming himself beside the devil's fire. Then what does he do? He gets so comfortable that he goes into total denial. He said, look, he said, I don't even know the man. I do not know him. I do. What are you talking about? I'm not a member of Parkside. What are you talking about? I don't know him. What are you talking about? I've never identified with Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? Watch it. Here's what it says here. Almost done. Look at it, if you will. Luke chapter 22 and verse 58. Watch this. It goes from him to something else. The Bible says, and after a little while, another saw him. Wow. You mean there's people out there that see you when you do or do not do what you're supposed to do or not do? I don't know how many times Mrs. Wells could testify, or the boys or my daughter could testify. I don't know how many times I've walked into a restaurant, I sit down to eat, and somebody comes up in states. I mean, we're traveling in states, and they come up and say, oh, Brother Wells. How many times? A bunch. Brother Wells. I think all of them work at Chick-fil-A. Brother Wells, man, it's great to see you. What are you doing in my city? How you doing? We were in Chick-fil-A in Forney the other day, and a girl was visiting from another state. And she came running up and she said, preacher, what are you doing here in Texas? I said, I live here now. She said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. She said, it's great to see you. I turned to my family after she left and I said, who is she? You never know who knows you. Come on. I was in the airport flying to a different country. An entire youth group came up. Said, Brother Wells, man, it is. We attended a youth conference that you preached, and wow, this is wonderful. You know, can you sign the Bible? And I said, well, stand in line as I get my ticket. I'll be glad to. I can't be late, but stand. I was in a different country. You never know. You just never know. Somebody goes into that which is a gas station, and they say, nobody will see me. And they reach over and they pick up a pack of cigarettes. And they say, They look to the right. They look to the left. They look out front and they look in behind. And they say, They go up and they put it on the counter. They pull out their money. And a little kid comes up and says, hi, how are you? You never know. Come on. Sitting in your backyard enclosed as a fence. And all of a sudden you crack open a Miller Lite. You look at it. It feels cool. You look at it and you say, nobody will know. And all of a sudden there's five church members' heads that pop up over top of the fence. And they say, how are you doing today, Mr. Sunday School teacher? Hello. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that your sin will be revealed. You can't hide it from God. He's a good God. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. And he wants you to live for him. But you cannot. Your sin will surely find you out. The best way to do it is to rise up and say, I'm going to get all the way in. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Wait a minute, watch this. Said, it can't happen to me. So he stopped praying. He followed afar off. He sat down beside the enemy. He warmed himself beside the devil's fire. He denied Jesus and the faith. Now watch this. I want to finish reading it. Look at it, Luke chapter 22, verse 58. The Bible said, it says here, that after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. Who's he talking about? The disciples. He's talking about the church. Come on. Jesus established the church during his earthly ministry. Yes, it was a Baptist church because all that which was the apostles had to be baptized by John. Hello? And so, what's he doing? He's denying them. And Peter said, man, watch it, man. Watch what he says. First he says to the woman. He said, woman, I know him not. Then here's a man. What's God trying to do? God's trying to wake him up. Yes, sir. God sends a woman and says, wake up. Don't you understand? I see you. Don't you understand? I know who you are. Don't you understand that I know who you identify with. Don't you understand that I see you and you're doing that which is wrong. And if he would not listen to a woman, maybe because of pride, he says, okay, I'll send you a man. See, God always sends people in our life to warn us. Watch what it says. He says, man, I am not. Watch what it says, Luke chapter 22, verse 59. The Bible says, in space about 1 hour, another. Watch it. The Bible says that they confidently affirmed. Watch what takes place, saying. It says, of a truth, this fellow also is, it says, was with him, for he is a Galilean. Watch what Peter says in verse 60. The Bible says, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. So here he was, he denied him three times. First he denied him, if you would, with the woman. And then he denies him with a man. And then he denies him with somebody else that comes by. Now, wait a minute. How did that start? It all started way back when he said, I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll never forsake you, Lord. Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll be willing to go to jail for you. I'll go to prison for you. Lord, I'll even be willing to die for you. Then he could not even pray for the space of a couple hours. It's coming out. Then he follows afar off. It's coming out. Then he sits down beside the enemy. It's coming out. Then he gets comfortable with the enemy and he warms himself beside the devil's fire. It's coming out. Then he denies Jesus and his own faith. It's coming out. Then he denies that which is all the members of the First Baptist Church. It's coming out. Now watch this. I'm almost done. Mark chapter 14, verse 71. The Bible says he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man whom ye speak. So somewhere in there, he got so adamant about people accusing him that he was a believer that he even started to curse and swear. Come on. So what's he doing? He's picking up that old life again. Look at it. The Bible says in John chapter 21 and in verse 3, the Bible says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. So what takes place? Now, because of his backslidden state, he's taking others with him. You notice, listen, do you ever notice this? That when a person leaves a church, it's normally just not one that goes. I want to show you something else too. Did you notice when somebody joins a church, it's not normally just one person that joins? You know why? Because everybody has a circle of friends. Everybody has a circle of influence. And Peter had a circle of influence. Peter had five people that said, well, Lord, hey, look, if you go fishing, just, hey, if you're going to back, hey, if you're going to leave that church, hey, if you're going to stop soul winning, hey, if you're going to take and boycott that Sunday school, hey, if you're going to leave the youth department, hey, if you're going to start listening to that type of music, hey, if you're going to start dressing that way, hey, if you're going to stop listening to preaching, hey, if you're going to quit the choir, hey, if you're going to join the choir, hey, if you're going to live right, hey, if you're going to go soul winning, hey, you're going to take and dress right. Hey, you're going to have the right attitude. Hey, you will influence somebody by what you say and do. Watch it, I'm almost done. He said, can't happen to me. He stopped praying, followed afar off, went and sat down beside the enemy, warmed himself beside the devil's fire, got comfortable, denied Jesus and his faith, denied the church, cursed and swore, went back to his old business. He was a fisherman. I know people that used to be, listen to me, I know people that was backslidden, got right with God, came to church, then all of a sudden, they stopped coming. I ask people all the time, how long has it been since you've been to a good, fundamental independent Baptist church? Oh, it's been years. Well, why have you not gone? Well, got out of the habit. Hello? And so what takes place? What takes place is he's getting ready to go back the way he was. You are not supposed to go back, sir. You are not supposed to go back, ma'am, the way you were. Amen. Watch this, I'm done. You'll notice some things here in the scripture. You'll see this also, then I want to give you a closing thought, and I'm done. Next thing that takes place is he took off his clothes. John chapter 21, verse 7. The Bible says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Remember, Peter's fishing out in the bay. You remember that? He said, it is the Lord, that disciple whom Jesus loved. We know that's John the Beloved. Is that right? Okay. The Bible says, and when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. Watch, I want to show you something. The farther a person gets away from God, the more they take their clothes off. You better listen to me. Person says, well, I tell you what, summertime's coming. Good. Keep your clothes on. Hello. The farther a person gets away from God, the more they associate with God. No, the more they disassociate with God. Come on. Don't tighten up on me. All right, and so what takes place is this. What takes place is he backslides so much that he does something that even the common person doesn't do. Even a decent person will not do. You know, I've seen Christians that backslide so much that they outlive other people with their wicked life. You're too quiet on me tonight. I'm going to preach this thing all over again. Did you know? You listen to me. People can backslide so much that nobody else can even recognize that they ever was a believer in Jesus Christ. Come on. I want to read you a couple of scriptures and I'll quit. Here's what it says. All right? The Bible says over in Psalm 35 and verse 6, Psalm 35 and verse 6, the Bible says, their way be dark and slippery. So what takes place? Listen to me. What takes place when a person starts the backslide? It is so dark, they cannot see what they're slipping on. Now, by the way, everybody else can that's walking in the light. But because they're, stay with me, because they're walking in dark, they can't see what they're slipping on. My Bible says that you're children of the light and you're supposed to walk in the light as he is in the light. Is that right? So we have no business walking in dark places. But a person that walks in a dark place, to them, they can't see what they're slipping on as they go down. That's why they need somebody that loves them enough to say, wait a minute, hey, what you're doing, that's wrong. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to love God. You're supposed to walk in the light and be a child of the light. That's what children of the light do. Wait. Psalm 73 and verse 18. The Bible says, set them in slippery places. Jeremiah 23 and verse 12. The Bible says, their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. Have you ever done that? When I came up on the farm, I would go out late at night to tend to some of the animals in the barn, and we didn't have any electricity outside. And I remember one night, the flashlight didn't work, and I twisted my ankle. I stepped on something that I shouldn't have. And when I twisted my ankle, I went down, and I was in pain. Hello. I'm dealing with a young couple right now, and I love them deeply, and I've been working with them. And he's got, he's got a blood disease. And the other day, and I love them, and I've spent a lot of time with them, spent time with them on Saturday, and they've never come yet, but I love them. And I'm working with them, and she answered the door on Saturday, and she said, preacher, please pray for my husband. I said, why? She said, he's on dialysis, as you know, and it's getting worse. They've already cut off some of his fingers. The other day, he had an infection in his heel, and he kept walking on it, helping his mother to move in because he loves his mother, and he kept walking on it. And I kept telling him, honey, stop walking on it. It's getting worse. And he's lost all of his feelings in his legs, and he can't tell. They're all numb. And it was just swelling and getting bigger, and the cut was getting bigger, and infection set in. She said, just yesterday, she said, preacher, this morning I went in, and she said he had surgery this morning, and they had to cut his heel off. Now, wait a minute. That didn't happen overnight. You see, and that's the way it was with leprosy and identifying that which is sin in the Old Testament. And that's the way that's in our lives, that we've got to be so very, very careful. That when you know something is wrong, and she said, I kept telling him, and I love him, and she had tears filling her eyes, and you could tell the depth of the love that she had for her husband. And when somebody tries to help you, and you know that you're doing wrong, listen, it would be good for you to listen. It would be good for you to say, look, I know he's telling me right, and I'm having a hard time doing right, but I know he's telling me right. And so therefore, I think I'm going to wise up and listen to everything he has to say. What takes place? Here's what you see tonight. You see that David said, when my foot slippeth. You see that the psalmist said, my foot slippeth as in the darkness. You see over and over and over again that there's places of slipperiness. When a boy and a girl gets in the a wrong environment, that's a place of slipperiness. When your children in a public school, you got to be careful. You're listening to me. That stuff that they're teaching is a place of slipperiness. A secular university, a place of slipperiness. A Christian company that decides to do wrong, a place of slipperiness. But let me show you something. The Bible is a good place not to slip. Church is a good place not to slip. Having godly rules. Hey, when mom and daddy say, do this, they don't have to tell you every reason that you're supposed to do it. Why? They love you. They got your best interest at heart. They're trying to help you not to slip. Listen to it tonight. The choir's a good place to get in. You won't slip there. A bus route's a good place to work on. You won't slip there. A Sunday school class is a good place to be in. You won't slip there. Getting in one of the soul winning times. You won't slip there. Meeting with the ladies when they have special ladies activities. You're not going to slip there. Being faithful to Sunday school activities. You're not going to slip there. When you're in the youth activities, you're not going to slip there. When you're in children's church, you're not going to slip there. When you're in an ensemble or quartet or some other type of singing group, you're not going to slip there. When you're in the nursery, you're not going to slip there. When you're faithful on different church functions, you're not going to slip there. What am I saying? Plug yourself in. Protect yourself. He decided to go the wrong way, and he kept going. But the reason that he kept going is because he decided, I'm going to plug myself into the wrong place. You decide you'll plug yourself into the right place and protect yourself from slipping. Before you fall, you'll begin to slip. Before your children fall, they'll begin to slip. Before your marriage falls, it'll begin to slip. Before you lose your job, it'll begin to slip. Be careful of slippery places.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.